To the Mel Kay Show. I am very excited. My guest today is somebody who is as concerned as you are about 2024. So many people are talking about, well, what are we going to do? What's happening? What has been done? Has anything changed? Nothing's changed. There's just so many opinions about it. But I firmly believe 2024 is not a choice between left or right, Republican and Democrat. If you watch me, you know that I think that's all BS. I think that we have a uniparty that is fully captured by the globalists, multinationals, and billionaire oligarchy, as I call them. But I do still believe that we, the people, have a chance to save this nation, and 2024 is that chance. And my guest today, Drew Allen, has just written a book about this that I am very excited to discuss. Thank you for joining me, sir.
It's so good to be with you and your awesome audience.
Thank you. And you have been in this world for a long time. You're in the book world. You're in the commentary world, all of that. You've been watching everything going on since not just 2020, obviously, but you've been very involved with a lot of different people that have written about it. You've seen the evidence. You've looked through it. You know, a lot of people are nervous about it. So talk a little bit about why you wrote this book and a little bit about your background and what brought you to decide that, you know what, we need to have a plan and I'm going to put one out there.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I've been obviously casually observing the political landscape since I was very young. I grew up in a household with conservative parents. My father always had Rush Limbaugh on in the car. So it's true that, you know, even I at 36 years old, I mean, that's the impact Rush had, right? Just to give him a nod. But despite my upbringing in a conservative environment, my kind of professional and academic experience has been very far left. So I went to an all-male college preparatory school in Dallas, Jesuit, very liberal. The Jesuits are very liberal. And then I went to Pepperdine for college in Malibu, but I was a theater major.
Oh, wow.
So I moved to New York City. I worked in film and I was an actor. I ended up producing movies as well. I worked for Marc Jacobs and opened a store and ran it in Milan, Italy. So my point is, my experience before getting into this really professionally, I was surrounded by people that thought nothing like me. So I've seen that side, and somehow it was never attractive to me. In fact, I actually had more conviction about my conservatism, right? I'm with you in terms of uniparty. There's a reason I call myself a conservative and not a Republican, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, we have a two-party system and all that's another discussion. But but it gave me more conviction. And so I've been around that. I've been exposed to that. And so unlike a lot of people, I don't mean to bash anyone. For example, you know, I'm a columnist, too. I wrote a column one time, and I think this one was in American Thinker. And I had somebody reach out to me who lived in Wyoming, and I was, you know, kind of green back then. It's not like someone was coming to kill me. I wasn't nervous. I gave him my phone number and we talked.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you want to talk about? He said, well, it was just, I live in a small town in Wyoming. Everyone's very conservative and they think like we do, but they can't articulate it. They kind of just go that way because they feel it. And, you know, I can't have these types of discussions. They're not as well read about the issues and things like that. So even this person wanted to reach out and talk about that. So my point is, you know, I've had to form arguments my entire life to deal with this situation. And it's led me here. And so I've developed skills in communicating and in writing. And when it came to this book, America's Last Stand, as a writer, as someone who loves the country, my job's not finished, but one of the things I wanted to do to contribute was to, you know, give people, you know, kind of a political Bible right now, if you will. You know, I am not Thomas Paine. I'm not an arrogant person. I would never claim to be Thomas Paine, okay? But I want to make this comparison to make it clear. You know, Thomas Paine wrote Common Sense for a very specific purpose. It was to persuade the other colonists, the other American colonists, to support the American Revolution, right? That was the purpose. Right. My purpose was to persuade the American people about the gravity of the situation, the significance of this particular election in our history, and to persuade Americans, when it comes down to it, whether you like it or not, it's probably going to be Trump versus Biden, or they'll sub someone else in for Biden at the last minute, or, you know, that could happen, but it's going to be Trump more than likely. And so I want people to understand why it's important that you make the decision you do in 2024, not to vote for Biden, certainly, but to deal with all the propaganda too. So anyway, this is an important book to give people conviction. I call people that buy this book, read this book, rally behind our movement to save the country, the Patriots of 2024.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel that way as well. I think the stakes are so high for our nation. And this is why I do what I do, because I do see that our country is captured. I do not believe that we are functioning in any way as the founders intended. It's funny, I talk about common sense and Thomas Paine a lot too. So to me, I was like, oh yeah, good, good. This is what we need right now, because the truth is, I look at it one way, and I wonder how you do. I have watched all of this go down, and I pinpoint Agenda 2030, the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, a lot of what's going on with the Belt and Road Initiative, a lot of different things around the world, moving pieces. A lot of people, I do a whole presentation on who they are, the multinational corporations that call themselves the stakeholder capitalists of the public-private partnership, which are the multinational firms, the NGOs, the UN tentacles, the international banking cartel, as I call them, up to the BIS. But the problem is that they're a small group of people, but I believe that they have a vision for this planet. And a lot of them are in the O'Biden regime, trilaterals. They are members of Davos. They go to the Bilderberg group. They're very much, in my opinion, post-America. Because if you go and you look up what they're doing at the conferences they go at, or what the 17 goals that they've all committed to when Obama signed on to Agenda 2030. And you just look at, what are they talking about? They're talking about global governance. And what I see 2024 as is either you're standing with America and our sovereignty and our constitution and our nation and our future, or you are standing with the globalist and the our common agenda and a future where our borders, language, culture, as you, that's a savage thing, but I listened to him like you listened with your dad, and I did with my dad to Limba as well. Those are the stakes in my mind. I believe that if in 2024, whether it's Michelle or him or whoever they put in there, Michelle's way worse than her husband, as far as I can see from my research. It's not going to be America anymore. It is going to be a post-America. The Constitution, the Bill of Rights, our sovereignty, our borders will all be meshed into this Agenda 2030 kind of global map. How do you feel about, what are the stakes in your mind for 2024?
Well, a country, let me put it this way. If the Democrats win in 2024, America will cease to exist as we've understood it since our founding. It will exist nominally, but the freedoms we've enjoyed, our identity, our sovereignty, as you've pointed out, will be gone. Now, there are a lot of ways to look at it. Yes, there's a globalist agenda. There's certainly a cabal out there that believes in kind of world governance and so on and so forth. But just as we're focused on America with the illegal immigration problem, I would ask people today, what does it mean to be an American?
Right.
If you look at college campuses, if you look at what's happening right now with regards to Israel, I mean, what is happening? You have people supporting Hamas and terrorist organizations in the streets of America, outside the White House, on our college campuses, right, without any fear of being called out, without any fear. And this has happened on our education. I do want to say this. This is important. 2024 is not the end, right? Let's say we win the election, and we have to, and Trump has another 4 years to do what he needs to do. It's not over. You know, here's the big wake-up call for everyone. You know, America's last stand here is really the beginning, because, and I don't fault anybody, this is very natural. Abraham Lincoln talked about this 20 years before the Civil War. This moment in history, I tell people in this book, and I'll say now, was inevitable. And what I mean by that is, you know, we've been very naive in America. We haven't understood, because people my age, we haven't really fought for these freedoms. Right. We enjoy this amazing lifestyle. We're the most prosperous, lucky, fortunate, blessed generation in the history of mankind, period. We've had it so good. And so we've been asleep at the wheel. We've taken it for granted, which always happens. And so these periods of prosperity, while we're dormant, the tyrant's the most active.
Right.
And so the Constitution is not, and Abraham Lincoln talked about this again, you know, even back then, the Constitution, it doesn't matter. It's not going to prevent the Napoleons of the world from rising up amongst our ranks, right? That type of ambition and drive for power and evil, it still exists in the hearts of mankind. And so you've got to be watchful of it. And we haven't done that. We've been naive saying these things can't happen in America, not here. I mean, look, there, the Constitution is being shredded in front of our faces.
Right.
And it's been happening for a long time.
Yeah, not exactly. Just the Constitution, the entire rule of law. You know, it's very much like 1984 right now. Everything is upside down. Nothing is really functioning as intended, which is by design. Because for you, you're a little younger than me. I pinpoint a lot of this. I mean, many things happened. I think the first real coup of our country that in the lifetime of my parents, say, was the murder of JFK, and then the never getting to the bottom of anything from then to now. There's never been anyone held accountable for anything that our government has done to us or anyone else. And I feel like for the first time in history, a lot of people are asking a lot of questions that maybe weren't being asked before, which is why the censorship industrial complex and the controlling the narrative and all the fact checkers and all of that is imploding, because there are enough people like you out there and people that do what I do that are asking questions that linger the answers, and we deserve to know them. But I think, and I wonder what you think about this, I think the American people have to understand that they have themselves let themselves down, because they do not know the Constitution. They do not know the Bill of Rights. They do not know what is happening in terms of what the power that they possess inside. This is supposed to be a country for the people, by the people. Our government's supposed to be working for us. But now for at least, you know, 30 years, it appears, if not longer, we've kind of, like you said, been very complacent. But right now, I think people have to understand those days are over. You are responsible. People have to take what's happening to our country personally right now. And for somebody like you, what does that look like? Because I know you cover it in the book, and I want people to get your book and read this, but I'd like to, because I get tons of emails asking me, saying, I'm just one person. I get what you're saying. What can I do? And I mean, I've put so many things out there, but you kind of wrote a book about that kind of, so let's talk about the next year. We're right there, a year out. There's a lot people can do. And I say everyone has gifts, everyone has potential, everyone has things that they're not using by design or otherwise. So what are some things that you would say to people, okay, this is something you can do. This is something you can do. So let's start there.
Well, the first thing you can do is believe that your voice matters. It's to have conviction and wear patriotism. Don't hide it. Wear it on your shoulder like a badge of honor. You know, I happen to be Christian. I'll make this analogy. You know, the Bible, of course, calls us, Jesus calls us to go out and make disciples of all nations. How did Christianity spread? It wasn't people sitting, hiding at home, being quiet about the Christianity. They were meeting. They were going out and spreading the gospel. And that's what we have to do between now and 2024. Here's the thing. A lot of people in this country, have a very weak constitution, especially today, because we've had it so easy for so long. People want the path of least resistance. The Democrats understand very clearly that the tactics, you know, when you have a story out there during the Trump years where Sarah Huckabee Sanders goes to eat at the Red Hen in Lexington, Virginia, I think it was, and the owner of the restaurant kicks her out and doesn't let her eat there because she works in the Trump administration. When you, as a casual observer in this country, see this happening, you see what happens to the J6, the gulags on the Potomac, if you want to call them that, that's what they are.
Yeah.
When you see this happening, the arrest, the persecution of Trump right now, which is unprecedented and outrageous, that's something, you know, that we need to talk about in terms of what it means, you know.
Yeah.
But when you see that, people are afraid. And what we have to do is put this country on our shoulders, okay? People out there, what I could never understand, and people are changing, it's amazing. For example, one of my chapters just asked the question, remember when Reagan debated Jimmy Carter? One debate, that's all they had. And he looked into the camera and he said, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? He won in a landslide, right?
Yeah.
We have lived under the Trump presidency, and we have lived under the Biden presidency. Ask yourself one objective question. If it comes down to Trump versus Biden, are you better off under the Biden presidency? Is the world better off? Is anything better off than it was under Trump? And you cannot objectively say that things are better under Biden.
Right.
And yet people will still come up with these reasons. Well, I don't like his personality. I don't like these from Queens. I don't like this. My goodness, my friends, my patriots out there. You know, this is the thing. When we were so weak-kneed and we bent the knee and we cowered when people said, I don't like Trump, we got to get Biden in there. And we were quiet because we didn't want to be attacked as a Trump supporter. That's the problem. That's the problem, because I believe this country is still a majority conservative, but it's always called the silent majority. And that is slipping away. So you've got to be vocal, because look, people are weak. They're attracted to what seems popular, what's not going to get them in trouble. I mean, I don't blame them. If you want to be a Democrat, like AOC, she gets stuck on Vanity Fair. She gets treated like a rock star. Who doesn't want to be a Democrat when you're, you know, I mean, you've got special privileges. But Republicans, who wants to be a quote unquote Republican? I mean, look at the Congress. You want to be one of these schlubs? Absolutely not. They don't inspire any confidence whatsoever, except maybe a handful. And that's what I'm talking about. We have to change that.
Right.
And make conservatism the political religion of the land again, as Lincoln talked about. The Constitution, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. You know, I just saw something today. Some lunatic online was like, the conservatives can't do, you and I both come from an art background, and I was in that business for 20 years too. And conservatives can't make art. They have no empathy. They have no compassion. I'm thinking like, what are you talking about? I mean, it's just such a crazy thing to say, but still it's conservatives. What we're conserving is what is great about this country. We conserve the ordained by God document. I mean, I know people say like, do people understand what that the inspiration that was went into this? No, most people, especially our age, never even read it, let alone they never read the Declaration of Independence, which I say to people all the time now, go read the Declaration of Independence and the 27 grievances and tell me where we are right now, because I'm pretty sure we're still fighting that same battle. You know, the Bill Amen. Of Rights, you should know everything on there. And I say you should have it on your refrigerator, you should in your car, know what your rights are. But one thing that we do need to talk about is there's a lot of division on our side. And when I say side right now, I am on Team America, because I believe that there are no Democrats. They are run by a globalist billionaire oligarchy that could not care less about America. They're already way invested in the future with the multinational corporations and the Larry Finks and the Eric Schmidts and the Gates of the world. They have the power on the other side. The Democrat Party is really just they're what soldiers, basically. They're capos, you know, in the mafia setup that we have in this government. But what people don't know, and I know that you do know, is that the people that were involved in writing the Constitution did not get along. These guys, if you read through the Federalist Papers, these guys fought. They did not agree on almost anything. It was just what they agreed on was freedom. And that they didn't want to be ruled over, and that they wanted to create a society themselves. And so I think that there's also a lot of division for the people that are patriots, that do see making America great again, which was really Trump's financial plan that we have to get back to as soon as possible. I think, what do you make of the division on our side, be it between the DeSantis and Trump people, or between like the, you know, Turning Point and the Daily Wire people? I mean, there's many different levels of this, but it does seem on the left, they're in lockstep. The billionaire oligarchs, they pay for the NGOs. The NGOs pick their teams. They organize very well. They've been doing it since the 60s with Saul Alinsky and then Weather Underground. You know, they know what they're doing. Our side, they fight constantly. They're always picking on each other. They don't seem to understand that the goal is the same, is to preserve our freedom and our nation. But what do you make of all the fighting? Because I look at the Federalist Papers, I know that they fought then, but you know, we're kind of at that situation. Like, do they think that we're all supposed to agree on everything? I don't understand this division.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think the founding fathers, you know, they had a little bit more conviction and understanding about what was at stake and what they were doing, because they lived under tyranny before. We don't have that benefit. And so at the end of the day, they could have, and look, they were explosive. I mean, we're so weak today. If we witness, it's like I lived in Italy for 5 years.
Oh, wow.
The Italians fight, you know, that's how Americans used to fight too. You do that today, and it's like, you might be called out to duel, you know, between DeSantis and Trump. But So this is I'm glad you bring this up. This is touchy. You know, I'm sure it'll be a little bit divisive for the audience out there. There's a lot of people watching and listening, but this is a concern for me. I'll be forthcoming. I'm not trying to play some game. I support Trump. All right. And the reason for me is mostly pragmatic. Now, is Trump perfect? No, he's not. But nobody's perfect. Reagan wasn't perfect either. Now, everyone has their issues. But at the end of the day, what I have a problem with, and look, it's nasty. I work in politics. Believe me, I represent as clients a lot of these famous people. I know what they're like behind the scenes. I know what they say. I know it's a game. It's a game. It's a game.
Right.
And so I get that it's vicious. And at the end of the day, for me, I'm going to shake hands and I'm going to bring people into the tent. I'm going to say, look, we've got to save the country. That's more important. All right.
Right.
But I'm worried because, you know, Trump, here's the unique thing about this situation, though. With the DeSantis campaign, let's talk about DeSantis because really he's the only one that has any steam, if you will, I think. But even DeSantis, he's not really moving the needle in terms of what is necessary for him to become the nominee in 2024. That's just the realistic, okay? I mean, in Florida, look, you can say what you want about polls. I get it. Well, this poll is a Trump poll. This is a DeSantis poll. But I think we can understand that Trump is leading and there's a lot more MAGA people than there are DeSantis people, okay? That's just reality right now. The latest poll out of a university in Florida said that Trump's 39 points ahead of DeSantis in Florida, where DeSantis is the governor.
Yeah.
So, look, Trump has only continued to expand his base, if you will, and DeSantis seems to be getting smaller. But the problem for me, and it's fine, let's have a robust primary, but at some point you've got to acknowledge it's not my time, all right? And what I see from certainly the DeSantis influencers out there, and look, the Trump ones, yeah, we can be bad too, but the DeSantis ones, they don't sound any different than the Lincoln Project, okay? So here, I'll just be specific. If you love DeSantis, I will tell you the one unforgivable thing for me. This is the thing that cannot allow me to really even have a favorable opinion right now of DeSantis. And that's the fact that he refuses to come out and adamantly defend Trump against the greatest threat to this country truly since the Civil War, which is the lawless persecution of Trump and the efforts to put him in prison. Now, to put this in context for people, no president in U.S. history until Trump had been indicted. And it's not because Trump did anything wrong. Okay. Right. If you want to talk about presidents, Clinton actually committed a felony. He perjured himself a lot more than even that. Yeah. Right. And they just said, you know, we're not going to indict you. The special prosecutor was called back then. Now it's a defanged special counsel, they call it anyway, with less power. But anyway, they said, I'm not going to do it. You can pay a fine, whatever. Now, here's the thing. Robert E. Lee, who indisputably was a traitor. All right. Great military general, different time, whatever else. But he was a traitor, right? He led the Confederacy. All right. And even he was actually indicted by a grand jury, but ultimately they decided not to even prosecute Lee because it was for the to keep the nation together, to heal.
Right.
So my point is, you have Robert E. Lee, who has literally led the Confederacy,
right,
and he was not convicted. And you have Donald Trump, who they're trying to put in jail for questioning election results, which Democrats have done for eternity. Okay.
So crazy.
And so DeSantis, his latest interview, I mean, this is the thing, you know, if you can't recognize if somebody wants to be president, the gravity of this situation, the end of free and fair elections, the threat that it is, and you can't, I mean, how can you go on MSNBC or with Jake Tapper or anywhere else and not say what the Democrats are doing is unprecedented? This is the greatest threat to democracy since the Civil War. And I don't like Trump. I want to beat Trump. I have a beef with Trump. But what they're doing to him, and look, Trump, I mean, you know, DeSantis in the past has come out there and said, well, this is wrong. But that's as far as he'll go. And that's a problem for me.
Oh, I hope you're enjoying the show. I was just talking on my new Patriot Mobile service. I have to tell you, I'm so excited. They are incredible. They are America first. They align with my values. And you know what? It's unlimited minutes, unlimited text, Wi-Fi calling, unlimited data, high speed, everything that you could use, just like everyone else. We have our time, we have our vote, and we have our money. And the great thing about Patriot Mobile is your service will be exactly the same. Difference with Patriot Mobile is they are an America First company. And what they do is they reinvest their money into causes that matter to me and matter to you and matter to this nation. At Patriot Mobile, those causes are the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, the Constitution, and our children's future. So please go to themelkayshow.com. Patriot Mobile is a partner of ours. Please use the code MELK. What I can tell you too is that they are supporting me and they are supporting creators because they believe in the First Amendment. They believe that censorship is wrong and they are going to put their money where their mouth is. Do what you can for the creators out there that are doing what I'm doing. Please go to Patriot Mobile, MELK Show. All I can say is thank you so much, guys. Supporting my partners supports me, and Patriot Mobile is absolutely awesome. I checked them out. We're switching to Patriot Mobile, and we hope you do too. Thank you so much.
It's disturbing. I don't understand. First of all, I don't understand why he ran, because to me, he was doing great. He's very young. He was doing great in Florida. He actually was an ally and got along with Trump. And I believe that this is probably the Bush money and the people that hate Trump, like you said, the Lincoln Project, whatever. I think he's ruined his career, and it is mainly the people that he's hired that surround him. It has been ugly and vicious, but you know what? I feel like what you're saying is very true. There's the one thing that nobody can deny, which is the persecution of Donald Trump is disgusting. And I will tell you, it looks so bad overseas. I have a lot of foreign press people on. I have friends that foreign nations are looking at this country in horror at what we are doing to Donald Trump here. And these people don't care. Letitia James, Alvin Bragg, they're all tools of the globalist billionaires. I believe the biggest reason they took Trump out and they want to take Trump out is because he got in the way of this big global, whatever they're doing with the global public-private partnership. And he was pulling out of UNESCO. He was pulling out of the World Health Organization. He was on the floor of the UN saying, we're never going to be a globalist nation. We're always going to be a sovereign nation of the United States. He's pulling out of the Paris Climate Accords. He wants to know where all the money in NATO is going. He's doing these things that are so good for our country. And people really don't understand. I do a lot of shows on the UN and the whole globalist, you know, pyramid all the way up to the Bank of International Settlements. And what he was trying to do was to take back our nation. But I also believe that he also wanted to export, make America great for all other countries to do that as well, which I still think he has a chance to do that on the other side of 24 if we get this together, because they all still will deal with him. Most of the nations right now will not deal with the O'Biden regime, even if they pop him, Michelle. The damage that has been done to us in the foreign department, the hatred of Blinken and of Nuland and of Sullivan and all of these people overseas, if you read what they write, you're just like, we have no shot. So this march towards, that's another thing, this march towards towards World War III, I don't hear DeSantis talking about stopping that either. And so, but it's sad because I moved from New York City finally to Florida and my family lives here and they loved him and now they don't, you know, and it's mainly because of what you're talking about. It's not necessarily that he ran. It's that while he has the voice, he's not doing anything to forward what's in the best interest of we the people, because what you're talking about has very little to do with Trump. It really has to do with us, with this nation, and that these people are willing to tear this country apart, first with January 6th, which I believe is fully a setup, then with what they did to all the January 6th people, which they're not done, and then this total persecution of Trump and all these lawyers. This is about destroying America. This is not about those people per se, and it's horrible. I know many of those people, you know many of them. The amount of these people are all basically broke, defending themselves over nothing. Oh, they did nothing wrong. But, you know, that's my bigger thing about DeSantis and all the rest of them is that why aren't they up there talking about us? You know, they're up there talking about Trump a lot, you know, Christie, Haley, the other. None of them are talking. I don't hear them talking about we the people and what this has done to us.
No, people need to be realistic. Look, Trump's the guy. He's been the guy from the beginning. And even if you were going to contest it and have people get out there and try and take the nomination away from him, it was very clear early on that he was still the guy. And so the country's at stake. It's America's last stand, as I say. And we have these people trying to take pot shots at Donald Trump and weaken our political party. Right. Meanwhile, you've got RFK Jr., who is a threat, not to Democrats, but he is a threat to Republicans, to a lot of these DeSantis, not all, look, I'm not, but the DeSantis influencers who are never Trumpers, that's what they are. They're never Trumpers. I'm afraid these people would throw away and vote for RFK Jr. just because they hate Trump, and they've convinced other people to hate Trump. Right. And let me be clear about this book too. It is a elect Trump book. This book makes the definitive case why you should re-elect Trump. It gets into the lies that are told about him. What is so hard for people about this? I mean, it's like he has a record you can look at, and I get the COVID stuff. I get that was a problem for people. He made some mistakes, but my issue with the DeSantis campaign too is the rewriting of history, just like the Democrats do. I've got some issues with the vaccine stuff and everything else and whatever, but you've got to look at things in the aggregate in terms of what's at stake. And you can't become a one issue voter like people who want infanticide and abortion up to 6 weeks. And they're like, well, if we can't have infanticide, yeah, let the country burn. I don't care about my kids' future because abortion's more important to me, even though I've got kids and didn't abort. You know, it's right. Crazy to me.
Yeah.
So we've got to have perspective.
Right.
And look, I mean, and this thing too, I mean, I've got three chapters on what the Democrat Party's done to Black people in this country.
Yeah. And you have to, because it's a big deal. It was all set up, first of all, by the oligarch billionaire NGO runners. And so, and it's very clear now with the marching for Hamas and a ceasefire. I don't even know who they're talking about. The people that are funding both sides of this war, like the other war, there's no ceasefire plan for them. So I don't know who they're marching for and how this happened. I do know they're the same people as Black Lives Matter funding it. So again, we're in a color revolution as well. I think your book is very important, though, because a lot of people that are voting for Trump, for sure, no matter what, they don't know how to articulate why. And this is a conversation that we have to have. You said something, and I'm writing a book as well that's kind of about having meetings like Neighborhood Watch when we were little, but like Freedom Watch, where like neighborhoods get together and get to know each other. And it's not political. It's really about freedom and saving America and where our rights being usurped and, you know, what's happening with our public officials, and especially the ones that have R's next to their name and are not Republicans at all. But more important is people need to start having conversations again. And I think that the good thing about what you've done here with your book is you have put together the arguments of this is one of the reasons that I am voting for Trump. This is why, you know, this is another reason. This is why people are so emotional and they're so scared either to be attacked. They don't want to speak out. It's going to start a fight. If you have rational arguments, which people do not have right now because everything is so emotional and every day is another fire hose full of information and chaos and conflict. But I think you did a real service here because a lot of people feel that way. And they really need to, just like when you have to give a speech and you write out your notes, everyone should have their notes when they have the opportunity to pull somebody into the tent and say, listen, this is where we are. These are the stakes. This is why it matters. This is what happened. This is what we can do. Nobody's doing that. And I'm so glad that you are. And I've talked to people even in Trump's inner circle where I'm like, okay, we got to get on the same map with messaging, or, you know, we got all these different factions and some of them are MAGA, some of them are Trump, some of them are, you know, and they're all not getting along and they're fighting each other over nonsense. And we have a goal. So that's what's really important here. And it's also very important because I do believe that the Black vote has switched a lot. And I think as they persecute Donald Trump, a lot more Black people are watching this and thinking, wow. You know, like we thought it, you know, we knew it was unfair, but this is really unfair. You know, they already felt like the justice system was a disaster. But then to watch it in real time and this situation going down, I also think that he's going to get a lot more legal immigrants because of what's happened. Defunding the police, it's hurt the Black community the most. You know, they say all of these DAs also hurt the Black community the most and, you know, inner cities and all of that. So I think we're in much better shape with a lot of these groups. Now, let's talk about the cheating and the machine that was set up for the cheating. So a lot of people are upset about that. One thing I get asked often is, why aren't people out there filing lawsuits and stuff in the counties, reversing all of the tactics that were put in to cheat in 2020 that were under the guise of the pandemic?
Why isn't that happening? Or people say, well, nothing's changed, so my vote isn't going to matter again, or any of that. What do you say to the people that say, well, 2024 is going to be rigged anyway? Because I hate to think that people aren't going to show up because they think that their vote doesn't count.
Democrats have been cheating, not just in 2020. They've been cheating for decades, okay? So 2020 was the most rampant abuse of it, which is why we saw Donald Trump get nearly 10 more million more votes than he did in 2016 and lose to Joe Biden, who got 81 million votes. It's all about the mail-in ballots, unsolicited mail-in ballots. Now, I want to be clear too, you know, DeSantis's people say, we shouldn't talk about the past. We should, no. We should definitely talk about the past because it's still the present and the future. And I love this case that just took place. Maybe you read about it in Connecticut.
Right.
It's a Democrat mayoral race in a town in Connecticut. And the judge threw out the results because the Democrat, well, it was two Democrats running, but one of the Democrats was cheating. And lo and behold, why were these election results thrown out? Because video was presented to this judge in which people were showing up in the middle of the night and stuffing, drop boxes with mail-in ballots, which of course is exactly what happened throughout the country. And so if Democrats are cheating in their own elections, you think they wouldn't cheat to win a presidential election when they're doing this for a local mayoral race? And this is not an isolated incident. So look, I want to explain to people, I explain this in the book. I'll tell you exactly what happened. And call it rigged, call it stolen, whatever. Don't let these people beat you into silence because they want to get away with this. Right. But 2020, absolutely, they stole the election. In a million different ways, yes, legally, Supreme Court's overruling unconstitutionally, the legislature in Pennsylvania to change election laws, all this stuff, a lot of it, Zuck Bucks, whatever, they did. And January 6th was not instigated by Donald Trump. It was actually counterproductive to what our objectives were, because no judge would even listen to a single case of fraud, unlike this judge in Connecticut just did for Democrats. And so January 6th was constitutionally, ironically, I just want to point this out too, ironically, of course, January 6th, what they were planning to do, Democrats have tried to do it as well, but they didn't succeed, because to contest the results, you have to have a member of the House and a member of the Senate both object to the same state. And Democrats could never get enough of both to do it. But we actually had a pretty firm plan in place that it was going to happen. So it wasn't guaranteed that it was going to be overturned, but it was guaranteed that we were going to actually finally hear the fraud debated in the halls of Congress. Okay. That was the plan. And so, and my point is, it was a constitutional process that came about because Democrats tried to steal an election in 1876. It was called the contested election of 1876. I can't believe no one talked about this back in 2020. But literally, you had Samuel Tilden, who was a Democrat, running against Rutherford B. Hayes. The Democrats stole the election, and Republicans had cojones back then, and they said, screw you, we're not giving it to you. We're not going to sign off on it. We're going to hold our ground. So they got behind closed doors. They had no way of dealing with this situation. It was unprecedented. So ultimately, Rutherford B. Hayes became the president, the Republican, even though he lost, right?
Right.
And Democrats, got some favors here and there. And long story short, 10 years later, 11 years later, you had them pass the Electoral Count Act of 1887 or 88. And that was the one where they put into process, very confusing, truthfully. But that's the process that's been used since, Gore and everything else. They tried to overturn election results. So that's the irony. The very law being used was because Democrats tried to cheat in the past. Yeah. So J6, lack of police force, Ray Epps, FBI present, embedding themselves in the Proud Boys. All of that was intended to rubber stamp Joe Biden's certification. It wasn't us saying we're going to overturn. It was them. And that's who it benefited. And in the end, all of the J6 stuff, all of the insurrection. I know how the media works. You do too. Let me explain something to you. In real time, you don't have all the major networks calling it an insurrection specifically at the same time, unless they are told you're going to call this an insurrection.
Beforehand. Yeah. You and I both know Pelosi's daughter has made these documentaries there 2 days before, or setting up shooting and shooting people. I mean, there's so much there. But what you're saying is, me and Laura Logan did a show a long time ago, but about this, the exact timing that they were supposed to do that. What you're talking about is when the breach happened. They were not going to allow that to happen, and that is what many people, as astute as you,
believe what that's what happened that day. They were not going to allow that to happen. And then now, what are your thoughts? A lot of people ask me still to this day, did Mike Pence have the ability to do what a lot of people had hoped he would do, which was send back the votes? Was that possible or no? Because that's still unanswered for most people.
It would have had to have been litigated in the end, and it probably would have gone to the Supreme Court. That was the whole point. No, the kind of confusing law that was written to deal with the contested election of 1876 had never really been tried. And so it had been speculated on about what would happen. We didn't know. But my point is, in 1876, the Republicans didn't know what would happen. Right. If they said, no, you say Samuel Tilden won, we say you cheated, he's not the president. So they had guts. So we don't know. But here's the thing, too. At the end of the day, what did Democrats and Republicans do after January 6th? They passed a law to change the electoral count of 18, to clarify the VP's role, to make sure that now it's understood that he couldn't do it.
Right.
Okay. So, I mean, let's just use our brains here. So anyway, I don't know if Mike Pence could have. There's an argument that he could have, but other things could have happened too.
Right. But people still stick on that. And I couldn't even believe Mike Pence was running after that. I'm sure that that had something to do with money. But at the end of the day, you know, we are in a place right now where I firmly believe that the tide has turned significantly. I think a lot more people will be coming out to vote for Donald Trump than anyone can imagine. And mainly a lot of people are going to be doing it because all the right people hate him. And that's even bigger to a lot of people out there, that if all these people want to take him down so bad and they are not working for us and they're making a fortune off of Ukraine and the open border and all of this, and he wants to take care of that, good. Because I know libertarians that hated Trump and now are definitely voting for him. I know people that are straight up anarchists and want nothing to do with voting. They're voting for him. So I think that, you know, we're in for quite a ride. I do believe between here and there, we have to be very vigilant. I think these people giving up power will be, they're going to be like rabid dogs for the next 12 months, which also I think makes your book very useful and important to Trump supporters, because you're going to be attacked. And that's the other thing we all have to remember, like you bring up the founding fathers, they put their whole lives on the line. They knew that if they lost, they would not only would they be murdered, their whole families murdered, their lands burned to the ground, you know, all of that. But you know what? It was worth it. And I think it's worth it right now. So any last words for people that are kind of, because, you know, there's a lot of talk about violence and civil war and attacks and this and that, but we still have to keep our wits about us and keep focused on the goal here. So any last words for the audience, and then we'll tell them how and where they can find your book.
Yeah, well, look, my message to people isn't one of pessimism. Look, it's terrible what's happening. It's very depressing a lot of times, but there's a couple ways to look at it. And success in life in general comes down to attitude in everything.
Right.
And I'm not blowing sunshine. I'm a realist. I'm not, you know, putting lipstick on a pig. But I look at what's happening now and I say, other Americans, our ancestors have stood their ground, and they've run into bullets so that I could have this inheritance.
Right.
And we're not being asked to run into bullets. We're being asked to be called racist. We're being asked to be name called or be uncomfortable. And I say, thank God, literally, that I'm alive today. I have a seven month old daughter. I love this country so much. And I'm glad I'm here, because I get to be a part of this moment in history to do something about it. I don't have to entrust it to somebody else. I get to be the guy. You listening and watching get to be the person. This is our time in history. So just the way our ancestors, you know, after they, you know, Lincoln talked about the Temple of Liberty and the Pillars of Liberty. That was the founding fathers. Over time, they start to decay and you forget about them. And then you've got to go and you've got to reinforce it yourself and become those pillars. Now we've got to become those pillars and put the nation back on our own shoulders and look to their memory for inspiration. And my point is, we're the patriots of 24. This is going to happen again down the road. I guarantee it in our nation's history. But let's be a generation where our posterity says, man, my grandpa, my mom, my dad, the Patriots of 24, look what they did. I'm going to do it too. And that's how this nation continues to survive and thrive.
Wow, that is awesome. That is exactly how I feel as well. And that is great. And I think that what you did is a great service to people that are having a hard time figuring out what to say, how to defend with their thinking or whatever. So I highly recommend people get your book. Please tell them where to find the book, where to find you, and how to follow you.
Sure. So best place to get the book just Amazon.com. And it's in every available way, Kindle, paperback I like, but you can also do an audiobook. And I actually narrate the audiobook, nice. Of course, you know, because I do a podcast, so I talk a lot anyway. So cool. The Drew Allen Show is what I do. Great. And then I've got a Substack set up, you know, I put my columns there now for the most part. Great. And it's drewallen.substack.com. So,
we'll put all your links below. And Drew Allen, keep fighting the good fight. You are a big voice out there that is making a big difference. And thank you for what you're doing for everyone that is supporting Trump that doesn't know exactly how to articulate it. I think you've put a good map out for people to stand their ground and have great arguments that maybe they need a little help kind of articulating, but now they can go out and share them and bring more people under the tent. So you're doing a huge service. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The narrative is falling apart, but as it does, there's so much of this fraudulent disinformation, misinformation, censorship coming from the globalists. And what we need to do is be focused on the facts, cut through everything, be discerning, and get it first and foremost out there to everyone. It is important that you know what is going on. Censorship is getting nuts. You guys know it. There's accounts all over the place that are fake, that are not me. I know you guys send me emails and I really appreciate it. And you report it and it's on Telegram and Instagram and Twitter and they're not me. So I'm super excited to announce We the People with Mel K. Be the first to join. It's a VIP community, just you and me behind a paywall, no trolls, no nothing. We get to know each other. I will give you the facts first. I break a lot of stories a long time before other people. We can talk about past, present, future, history, what we're doing now, solutions for going forward, what 2024 is going to look like. I'm going to do breaking news, do a lot of deep dives. I'm going to bring that information to you guys first in a live Q&A every week. So please click the link below and join me over there. We are going to create a community that is censorship proof. It's cancel proof. It's truth. It's transparency. It's on the road to God, country, justice, everything that we want in one place. This is the most incredible, amazing time to be alive. As hard as it seems and as difficult as the battle has been for you guys and definitely for me, all I know is that we all are part of the solution. We are all involved and invested, and you guys have the passion that I have. So let's join together on live Q&As once a week with me, Mel K, we the people of the United States, taking back this nation. This is so exciting, guys. I've been dying to do this, and we finally got the technology right. So please join me. Click the link below. Can't wait to get started. I don't know about you, but I feel a lot better being prepared for whatever's coming. Every day I hear something new. Something's coming from the CDC. Something's coming from the FDA. Who's trying to take over our healthcare system? All this craziness. And what I know is that one man really changed my life, how I look at everything that's happening to me health-wise. And that was Dr. Zelenko. He was a good friend of mine, a good friend of the show. And he came up with the most amazing product. Z-Stack has been a game changer for us. We have not been sick since we've been on it. We take it regularly. If we feel like we're coming down with something, we'll double up. But he has all new products over at the website. God rest his soul. He did not leave us unprepared. And that is very important for you to prepare. So he's got Z-Shield. He's got a kid's Z-Stack, which is awesome. He's got Z-Flu, Z-Detox. He's got all kinds of things. He always said to me, your immune system must be clean, resilient, and resistant. This matters the most. And what I can say on top of that is that he supported me. He supported free speech. He supported medical freedom. He supported personal liberty and everything that I believe in, he believed in. He inspired me to be myself, to speak up, to speak out. And what matters is that you are feeling healthy, whole, clean, clear, focused, and that your immune system is protected from anything that comes our way. And Z-Stack is the best way to do that. Please stock up on Z-Stack. Go to themelkshow.com. Go to our partners page, goes down to Z-Stack. That also supports the show. When you buy from our partners, these great people, especially Dr. Zelenko, who is dear to me, you are supporting the show and keeping us going. And I know that truth, freedom, and the First Amendment matter to you. They matter to him. They matter to me. So make sure you're always healthy. You're always out there. You're always standing up. Be brave. Courage is contagious.